do appreciate the testimonies from our college kids that are going back there, and Journey's already graduating, and so looking forward to that. Apparently now there's pressure to get married, and so hope that works out for you that way. A number of things that we're thankful for. Of course, that special was awesome. I've always appreciate that, and the Jimenez is singing that way. Looking forward to when Emmanuel comes back again. But Psalms 46, we'll read the whole psalm here. The Bible says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her in that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Let's open up in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful, God, for all your goodness towards us. Lord, even on a night like tonight, when we have many griefs and pains to bring to you and things we'd like you to answer for us in prayer and requests we have, Lord, we are still thankful for all that you provided for us, for the cross that you died on, for the salvation you bestowed on us. And we're thankful that even with all the pains and troubles we bear in this life, we know we have a home with you in heaven, and one day all tears will be wiped away, and we're thankful for these things. And God, as we look at your psalm here this evening, God, might we understand that we can come before you and find you ready to listen to our needs. Lord, we ask that your hand would be on this service and on the request that we will bring to you tonight. We love you, and in Christ's name we pray. Amen. I think probably this is the case with every portion of Scripture that touches you, but this is just, I think, a special psalm, at least for me. I don't know if you read it that way and it kind of touches you, but it's always been one of those psalms that really is special and uplifting and has some important truths in it. From this psalm, we get the phrase, "Be still and know that I am God." Maybe a phrase that kind of has some truth that surpasses even so much that we understand. And I was just thinking about this psalm as we were coming up to this service and preparing this way and getting ready to pray for some special needs we have. And so I started looking at the background of this psalm, and this psalm was probably written during the reign of Hezekiah. And probably, we don't know for sure, but it seems pretty likely that it was referring to the attack of Sennacherib upon Israel and upon Judah at that time. If you're not familiar with the kings and the history that way, Hezekiah was one of the only godly kings that Israel and Judah had throughout its history. In fact, he was called a man whom God said there was none like him before and there wouldn't be another like him after. That he was one that followed God and he tore down the high places and he did right in the sight of the Lord. However, if you're familiar then, Assyria was the world power at that time, and he came through that part of the world during this time to reaffirm his power. And he started taking over the little places and would take Edom and different areas there throughout that part of the world, basically to reaffirm his power, to let him know he was in charge. Demanding that they would pay allegiance to him, pledge their loyalty to him. And so he came with his 185,000 soldiers and began to take the cities of Judah one by one. He took them. speculation of probably about 200,000 Jews were taken from their homes, cast out of their cities, homeless and cast out during that time. And it seemed like he was unstoppable. Assyria was a force, and if you look through the history, you know when Assyria was major and when Syria was and when Babylon would be, later on the Roman Empire, in their heights of power, there was no standing against them. You just kind of hope for the best that you weren't on their target, and that's how they were. And so Assyria came through and took the cities of Judah and came, and now they beset themselves and come and surround Jerusalem. And they demand of Hezekiah that he's going to give them a tribute of gold and silver. And in hindsight, we see that this really wasn't about the gold and silver. He was really playing a game with Hezekiah. And if you know the story, you can see Sennacherib's mindset in this and how he wants to tout his own pride and make himself look amazing. And he comes and basically mocks Hezekiah and mocks the Lord, mocks what they have. And basically his goal in asking for a tribute is to prove how weak and how poor they were. He had every intention of taking everything that they had anyway. He never had an intention of taking that tribute and going. Except Hezekiah was in his own attempt to try to hold off Sennacherib. He believed that if he gave this tribute, it would save his people. He tried to take hold and figure this thing out so that he could save Jerusalem, save his people from being laid waste. And so what he does is he goes into the temple of God and he takes the gold that's in the storage. He takes the gold and the silver that's in the temple, going as far as to dismantling the doors and the pillars to take all of the gold from out of the house of God. And if you're familiar with the temple, that was a large portion of the temple. The temple that Solomon had built was something that was monumental. It was a task so large and so important to God even that when David desired to build it, God said, no, this task is larger than you. David, a man after God's own heart, one of the greatest men in all the Bible, God says, no, it's not for you to build the temple. You are a bloody man, a man of war. This temple's too important for you, actually. And it was Solomon that then would build it. And the gold and the silver and all of what was in that temple was an important part of it to showcase the glory and importance and holiness of God. And Hezekiah, a man that was one of the godly kings of Israel, one of the great ones, if we were to look at the kings of Israel, him and in his desire and in his hope, in his struggle to try to hold off Sennacherib, he goes in and actually takes the gold and the silver from the temple. This godly king who led people God's way is now scared, so scared for his life that he lays waste to God's temple to pay off his enemies. A sad day for Israel, a sad day for Hezekiah, as we understand that the temple from that point forward would never again be what it was and still isn't today. Sadder even than that is that Hezekiah would soon realize that that wasn't really what Sennacherib was after in the first place. He would give that gold over and Sennacherib would just laugh, mock them, great, he's still coming. Sennacherib has those 185,000 soldiers around Jerusalem, and the gold was of no value to him. He took it, but in his mind, well, I'm going to get it anyway because I'm taking Jerusalem. He said, I just wanted to mess with you. I just wanted to see you squirm. I just wanted you to know that nobody's going to help you. Egypt isn't coming. God's not coming. I'll take your gold. I'll make you give it to me, and then I'll come take the rest. That kind of an attitude. And Hezekiah is beginning to realize now that he's kind of toast. He's got no options. He doesn't know what to do. He realizes that this city is surrounded by far too many soldiers for him to do anything about. And he realizes he's on the brink of utter annihilation. And so he breaks. He realizes he can't do anything about it. He's got nothing else to give. He cannot fight. He's utterly powerless in this scenario. He has nothing to offer Sennacherib. He has no way to scare Sennacherib. He's got no out to escape. There's no friends to call upon. He's stuck. That's just it. He's got no more options left. He's exhausted all of those. And so now that he's totally and completely powerless, if you're familiar with the story, you realize he does now what he should have done from the start. And he beseeches the throne of God. He humbly and seriously prays for the help of the Lord, knowing now that it can only be God that helps him. And if you're familiar with the story, you know that something miraculous happened. God hears Hezekiah's prayer, and Hezekiah goes to sleep that night after praying to the Lord. And the next morning he wakes up, and those 185,000 soldiers that represented their utter annihilation at that point were a bunch of corpses around Jerusalem. 185,000 dead soldiers surrounded Jerusalem, killed in the night by the angel of the Lord. And Sennacherib, the guy who was mocking and making fun of him, the guy who was saying, there's nobody that's going to help you, your God's not coming, you have no friends, he flees later to be killed by his sons for his throne. And Hezekiah realizes at that moment that there was somebody that could help. That God did what only God can do. And it was undeniable at that point that their help, their hope, their protection, their salvation was only in the Lord. And it was probably after that point that Psalm 46 was penned about that scenario, as they would write that the Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge, that they would pen and voice the notion that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. That they would say the phrase, be still and know that I am God. When they came to a place that they realized there was nothing they could do, they had no hope, there was no more options, they had nothing else to give, and they sought God, and God did what only God can do. And they realized, man, God's our refuge. Our help is in the Lord. And they would say really to themselves and to others that would be in similar place, be still and know that I am God. Kind of a problem with humanity and with us typically is that we always believe we can do something. It's kind of our nature. We believe that we have answers, that we can solve our problems, that we can meet our own needs, that we can be our own protection. But the truth is, we're really just too weak for that. See, we think we can answer everything. I'm that type of a person. When somebody comes and presents a problem, I'm going to come up with an answer. It might be a bad answer, a wrong answer, but I'm going to have an answer one way or another. Because you got to fix it. I can't leave things unfixed. They've got to get taken care of. You've got to have an answer to problems. And I'm one that often in my life, because really seemingly self-sufficient from the time I was a young man, I just felt like, listen, nobody else is going to handle your problems for you. Nobody else is going to pay your bills. Nobody else is going to take care of you. Nobody else is going to protect you when you need it. So you better do it yourself. And always had the mindset, and oftentimes got myself in trouble because I relied on myself, thinking I could help me. And oftentimes came to realize that not even I could help me. Because we're weak. We can't really answer life's tough questions. We really can't protect against the things that really harm us. We'll load our house with guns thinking, I'm going to protect my family. But it's more likely that something's going to come hurt your family that you can't protect them from with a gun. We do what we can, and I'm glad for that. The reality is that our self-sufficiency, our self-provision, really more of an illusion than anything. In but a moment, our ability to provide for ourselves, to meet our own needs, can be taken away. Our ability to answer our own questions, to help ourselves, can disappear with a simple diagnosis. And we can't fight that. We can't fix that. We can't do anything about it. And the reality is that we're weak. And we deny it, and we fake it, and we mask it, and we try to ignore it. But the truth is stubbornly persistent. We're weak. We don't have the answers. Being sinful, we fail. Being prone to sickness, we hurt. Being mortal, we ultimately die. Pressure wears on us. Anxiety harms us. People intimidate us. Criticism offends us. Disease scares us. Death haunts us. And what do we do knowing we're covered with weaknesses too numerous to mention? Well, you know what most people do is they pretend. They pretend like they can answer the problem. They pretend like they can help. They pretend like they've got everything together. And they'll grab all the gold out of the temple and they'll do whatever it takes to try to answer the questions until one day they realize they can't figure this one out. So they realize they can't fix this one. I don't have the power. And the reality is that we need to be hit with the truth of Psalm 46 and all of our issues in life and realize that we have to turn to the only one that can help us. Even in the situations where we've been able to protect ourselves or to provide for ourselves or to answer the questions, that's only because of the goodness of God towards us. The only reason why you can go to work every day and meet your needs is because God's been good to you, provided you with an able body and mind and the opportunity to work. Those things can disappear in a heartbeat. The reality is we need to recognize and realize that in all of life's situations, regardless if we have the illusion of self-sufficiency or if we're in a place of desperate need to be coming to the end of ourselves, we need to recognize that there's one that really can help us, and we need to come to Him. We need to recognize that God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. He says He's our refuge, our shelter from the troubles and problems of life. He's our safe space, if you will, if we want to use that kind of terminology. He's the refuge from the storm. He's our strength. When we realize we really don't have strength, He can be our strength. When we realize, and really the sooner we realize that we're powerless, the sooner we can get the help of the one who is strong. And He's our help. When we cannot, He can. When we need help and all others forsake us, when there's no answers, when there's no amount of money, when there's nothing we can give, He's there to be our help. And today, as you understand, we have a need. We have more than one need. We have many needs. But it seems like this week we were hit with one particular need, and many others, actually, that we have no power to do anything about. The truth of the matter is that all our needs, we really don't have power to do anything about. And we need to beseech the Lord tonight, for Mrs. Farinella specifically, as we recognize the issue there. But even tonight, you've been made aware of others that have specific need. And there's serious issues in our midst. As we beseech the Lord tonight for the Farinellas, for Mrs. Farinella and for Pastor, and even for the McGregors as the issues that they're going through, and so many others probably that we don't even know of, these are certain things that we have no power to fix. We have no ability to do anything. We're going to devote some special time for this, but let's recognize that that's because we need to beseech the only one that can actually do anything for us. I don't know about you, but anytime something like this happens, I'm hit with the reality of I have no ability to do anything. I hate that. Anytime something happens, can I help? Can I do something? And I hate when I realize I can do nothing. I can't help. I can't make it better. I can do nothing. But really, if we think about it, and if we see the story of Hezekiah as an example to us, that's really when God shines, isn't it? When we realize we can't. In fact, it wasn't until Hezekiah got to the place in his life that he realized, okay, I can't, I better beseech the one who can, that he finally got salvation. As long as he believed he could, God said, fine, see what you can do. And so tonight we have a big prayer request. Mrs. Farinella, who's been a blessing and help to this entire church. I mean, she's given of herself in ways that we really don't even know. And even more than that investment, she's the one who really enables pastor to pastor. And we can't do anything about this situation, but we need to beseech the Lord about it tonight. And I don't even want to relegate it just to that situation, knowing that there's the McGregors struggling with some other similar issues that are serious. But tonight, knowing that God is our refuge, that God is our strength, a very present help in time of trouble, let us know and let us tonight practice what we always say. See, we push these phrases on social media and we talk about them, but sometimes we forget to do them. And we talk about, yeah, hashtag be still and know that I am God, but sometimes we are not still and know that He is God. And tonight that's what we need to do. We need to take some time, be still, take more than 35 seconds tonight in prayer, and be still and beseech the Lord for something that only He can do, for a serious need that we have, and not just one, but several. 1 Peter 5, 7, and then we'll get to it. Peter tells us to cast all our care upon Him, for He careth for you. Sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we think, well, if I just fix this situation, if I just come up with a solution, if I just get answers, we want updates because we want answers, because we want to know, because we want to help, because we want to know what can be done. Can I tell you what? I know somebody that can handle all of that, that has all the answers, that knows what to do, whose will is perfect, who I can trust completely with our future and with our souls. And tonight we need to be still and know that He is God. And so tonight, if you'd stand to your feet and bow your heads.